Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning I'm going to be discussing a controversial subject, but I feel very strongly that the Lord has put on my heart to bring this message to you today, as much as I fought all week. it's my desire as your pastor to see you blessed, to see God bless your life, and to do everything that I can to help you to walk in His blessings. You know, over the last few months, I've taught many things. I've taught you about how we don't call things that are evil good, and we all agree with that specifically from a political point of view. We don't agree that things that are evil should be right and or called right, and we all stand for that. I've taught you the difference between walking in the blessing and cursing, and you know, I've taught you many, many different things. And so I felt, you know, where we are in God's timeline, it would be very irresponsible of me not to share with you on this subject that I'll be sharing this morning, which I'm already avoiding. What I want you to know right from the beginning is that, please, this is not an attack on any individual. This is not to criticize anybody. I'm going to give you facts. Is that okay? We're going to have a look at the facts. We're going to have a look at what the history of what I'm going to be discussing with you. My subject this morning is entitled Trick or Truth. Okay? And so by now you probably know we'll be discussing Halloween today. So it is very important that I give you this truth. Now, before you leave, I know you're not really leaving, I'm just saying, before you leave, stay till the end. Let me give you all the facts. Let me put you in the picture. And again, I want to say this because I know many people celebrate Halloween, especially here in the United States. It's very, very heavily celebrated. But I want you to know that there's a strong possibility that you don't know everything about Halloween. But I want to see you blessed. I want to see you walk in the blessing of God. So I think it's important that we have a look at it. You know, anything that we do that we ourselves participate in or allow our children to participate in, I don't know about you, but I want to choose stuff that God's hand is on. Is that okay? So we're going to take a look at it like that this morning from a factual point of view. In fact, the resources that I reached out to that looked at were resources that are not necessarily Christian. In fact, my primary resource is, Siri's busy going crazy on my screen. My primary resource is Encyclopedia Britannica and other encyclopedias. So a lot of the information I'm going to share with you is very, very much just historical fact. Biblical fact, I'll give you some biblical fact, but if I had to get into all the different things that participate or that they speak about with regards to Halloween from a biblical point of view, a lot of you would be very shocked at what really takes place or what has taken place in the past specifically. So we're going to address four primary questions to keep it factual and basic. Number one, what is Halloween? Number two, where did it start? Number three, is it an offense to God? And number four, should we participate in it or not? Is that okay? I think right off the bat, we need to ask ourselves this question. What does the Bible tell us about Halloween? Nothing. The Bible does not speak about Halloween. The Bible does tell us what is offensive to God and what isn't. The Bible does warn us about certain things. So we need to have a look at those things and see if they relate or are associated to something like Halloween. What I want you to know right off the bat, again, the facts I'm about to share with you are not my opinion. This is historical fact. Halloween is the second most popular holiday in the United States specifically. Christmas is first. They say that more than $15 billion is spent around Halloween time. That's a lot. When we take a look at the origin, the first two questions, which is what is Halloween and where did it start? The origin comes from a Celtic celebration called Samhain. Actually, it's translated or really pronounced Samhain, but Samhain, spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, or also spelled S-A-M-A-I-N. And I'm going to start by giving you the Encyclopedia Britannica's interpretation of what it is, and then we'll look at some others too. Samhain, also spelled Samhain, in ancient Celtic region, one of the most important and sinister, this is not a Christian dictionary, calendar festival of the year, at Samhain held on November 1st, the world of the gods was believed to be made visible to humankind. And the gods played many tricks on their mortal worshippers. It was a time fraught with danger, charged with fear and full of supernatural episodes. Sacrifices and propitiations of every kind were thought to be vital. For without them, the Celts believed that they could not prevail over the perils of the season or counteract the activities of the deities. Samhain was an important precursor to Halloween. So I want you to know, let me say this, that Samhain was celebrated, because many people say Halloween started 800 years ago or something like that. No, it didn't. It started more than 2,000 years ago, and its origin was Samhain. Halloween and its origins in the festival of Samhain, and I'm reading to you, I never do this, I'm reading to you because I'm reading to you what was taken out of dictionaries. Is that okay? Halloween had its origins in the festival of Samhain among the Celts of ancient Britain and Ireland. On the day corresponding to November 1st, on contemporary calendars, the new year was believed to begin. I just want to stop there for 1 minute. It's very interesting to me that this was the worshippers, that these Celt worshippers, this was their new year. It's very interesting that we've just come through what the feasts of the Lord are, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which was also a new year just a couple of weeks ago. So it's very interesting how they've brought this holiday or festival or whatever you want to call it, specifically at that time. It says that the date was considered, it was considered the beginning of the winter period, the date on which the herds were returned from the pastures and land tenures were renewed. During the Samhain festival, the souls of those who had died were believed to return to their homes. And those who had died during the year were believed to journey to the other world. People set bonfires on hilltops for relighting their hearth fires from the winter and to frighten away evil spirits. And they sometimes wore masks and other disguises to avoid being recognized by the ghosts thought to be present. It was in those ways that beings such as witches, hobgoblins, and fairies and demons came to be associated with the day. The period was also thought to be favorable for divination on matters such as marriage, health, and death. So in other words, on those days, divination, sorcery, witchcraft, those things like marriage, health, and death were obviously brought to the forefront because it was important for them. Then when the Romans conquered the Celts in the first century CE, they added their own festival of Feralia, commemorating the passing of the dead, and of Pomona, the goddess of the harvest. Many of the customs of the pagan Celts survived even after the people became Christianized. In the 1800s AD, the church established All Saints' Day on November 1st. About 200 years later, it added All Souls' Day on November 2nd. This day was set aside for people to pray for friends and family who had died. People made many of the old pagan customs part of this Christian holy day. Some people put out food for their ancestors, and they left a lantern burning in the windows so the ghosts could find their way home for the night. Through the years, various regions of Europe developed their own Halloween costumes. In Wales, for example, each person put on a white stone near the Halloween fire at night and then checked in the morning to see whether the stone was still there. If it was, the person would live another year. In the United States, many early American settlers came from England and they brought various beliefs about ghosts and witches with them. In the early 1800s, many immigrants from Ireland and Scotland arrived in the United States and introduced their Halloween traditions. Other groups added their own cultural influence to Halloween costumes. German immigrants brought a vivid witchcraft lore, and a Haitian and African people brought their native voodoo beliefs about black cats, fires, and witchcraft. It's very interesting that you'll find out that the Festival of the Dead, which is celebrated primarily in South America, in many parts of America, was an annual or semi-annual festival in honor of the dead, who at this time, as in China, Japan, and many other countries, were believed to return to Earth over the Milky Way to participate invisibly in the ceremonies. In Peru and other countries in that area, they celebrated this, and this was also around the Halloween time. It's very interesting, if you think about it, just for one moment before we move on, that from England and Ireland, from Asia, from Africa, from South America, all around this time, they're celebrating the dead. It's very interesting. It's coincidence, maybe. Maybe not. But the truth is that the origin of Halloween comes from a Celtic religion that was very dark, that was full of sorcery and witchcraft, and it doesn't matter what we try to do to change that, that's where it comes from. Are you with me? I can see some of you are very upset because you won't get to dress like a fairy this year. We're going to get into this. Listen, hang in with me, because the truth is, guys, I don't like talking about stuff like this. I don't want to talk about this. I don't feel like the flack I'm going to get afterwards, okay? But I care enough about you to tell you the truth. Is that okay? Jack-o'-lanterns. The tradition came from the Irish, who carved out potatoes and turnips, then illuminated them in an attempt to scare away evil spirits. Eventually, the Celtic people replaced turnips with carved, grotesque faces in pumpkins, costumes, and masks. The Druids were the high priests of the Celts. The Druids believed that if people assumed disguises, the evil spirits would not be able to recognize their victims. Some believed that demons could be frightened away if people wore hideous masks. Some even believed that the identity of one wearing a mask could be changed to whatever was represented by the mask. Trick or treating. To appease the dead troublemakers, people would place food on their doorsteps in hope that the evil spirits would be satisfied and pass them by. So we can see where it comes from. We can see where Halloween originates from. Okay, now remember, I haven't gone into what the pumpkin represents. I haven't gone into a whole lot of things that they did, celebrations that they did. What you must understand, and I'll say this right from the beginning, is that the Bible speaks about the feasts of the Lord. The word feasts in the Hebrew means set times. God implemented set times long before anybody else did. He implemented set times where he would want to meet with his people. Are you with me? It's interesting how people attack me because I believe in celebrating the feasts of the Lord. Because the Bible even tells us that tabernacles, which has just passed, will be celebrated in the millennium. So I'm thinking, let's practice now. Amen. Why do we celebrate the feast? Because the feasts are appointed times where God wants to meet with you. Sets them aside. It's interesting that the enemy goes and imitates, calls it something, and guess what? The purpose is because the line between the supernatural and the natural will come closer. In other words, on these set times of the enemy, you can draw closer to that realm. Are you with me? Now, I know most of you probably have never been taught that before, but that's the truth. That's what the Celts were doing. They were trying to get closer to that supernatural realm. And in fact, we see that what happened was then the church kind of tried to bring their tradition where it came to praying to saints and stuff like that. They try to bring that in and bring it all together. And the truth is that we cannot do that. Okay? 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5 says this. But before I read this, we've now spoken about the origin. Now we need to talk about, is Halloween offensive to God. Now, you the one who will answer. I will give my opinion, but you answer for yourself, guys. Is that okay? And you can do more research with this afterwards, but I want you to answer for yourself. Now, 1 Timothy 2 verse number 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." In other words, the only mediator between man and God, the only way we can get to him is through Jesus. Are you with me? This is so strong and evident even through the Old Testament that there was no mediator, no idol, nothing that could be set up to worship God. And God got really upset in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we see this amazing picture of Moses on the mountain having a powerful encounter with God. He's up there for 40 days. The people begin to get antsy. They're getting a little frustrated. In fact, some scholars believe that they thought that Moses had died. So they were like, listen, you know, we want to worship our God. You know, so what Aaron did was he did what they believed in those days. What he did was he built an idol out of gold. He took that idol, he molded it into a calf. And now when we read that, we think, man, that's so bad and he was so evil. But he did what he understood to be normal. Because if you study the ancient world, you'll find out that the way they communicate with gods was through little statues. So Aaron even says, he says, here is the statue, the golden calf. This is the God that brought us out. Now you can worship the God who brought us up out of Egypt. So more than likely, they actually believed they were worshiping the God of Israel, their God, but they had to do it through this idol. Are you with me? I don't understand why man thinks that way even still today, that we can pray through dead people. No, we can't. There's only one way to God. And if you study scripture, you'll find out in Exodus 33, God got really mad at the children of Israel because they built the statue. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus. Any other stuff in that supernatural realm other than the kingdom of God is dangerous. Is that okay? All right. So we need to ask ourselves the question, is the practices of Halloween, specifically its origin, offensive to God? Deuteronomy 18 verse number 9. Are you guys okay? All right. Deuteronomy 18, 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. I want you to see it. He's saying here that we should not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. What nations? The nations that don't follow him. Is that right? There shall not be found among you any who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So we can see when it comes to things pertaining to mediums, to spells, to witchcraft, to soothsayers, to sorcery, all of those things, omens, all of that stuff is offensive to God. The Bible describes it as an abomination. Deuteronomy 7 verse 26 in the New Living Translation says this, "Do not bring any detestable objects into your home." Detestable also means offensive. Do not bring anything offensive into your home or detestable, for then you will be destroyed just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction. Is Halloween offensive to God? Let me tell you this. I have it written down there. The satanic church, this is truth now. Go read about it. Go look it up. This doesn't have to be read in a Christian book. The church of Satan has two major holidays. The one starts with a W. Don't even try and get me to pronounce it. It's not going to work. What? Something weird. And the other one is Halloween. They celebrate two major holidays a year, and those are them. They also do Black Mass, which is their imitation of communion. They always imitate the authentic to produce power. The power that gets produced, though, is demonic power. There is no other good bad power. There's only God's power and Satan's power. Believe me. And the Bible says that I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. So how does Satan work in our lives when we give him authority? Listen, if you celebrate something that is his, it's not necessarily a good thing for you. Is that okay? Now, I'll never forget, Naomi said to me, I'm gonna make a confession, okay? When I came to the United States, first of all, when I was in Africa, I want you to know that in Africa, in South Africa specifically, which is more of a westernized African country, in the fact that it's very developed and very much like the United States, just really small, okay? And just different. Okay, so anyway, they don't celebrate Halloween. We never used to. I remember watching it on TV thinking that looks really cool, trick or treating, that just looks so awesome. I wish I could do that as a child. Obviously, like most people, had no idea what it meant. So we never really did it. Okay? But what we did know was that the cult, the satanic places, the witches and all of them, they made a big deal about it. Which is very interesting. You will find out specifically from many nations that are Christian nations that do not celebrate Halloween are very aware of what and how dangerous the practices are. Is that okay? So when I got to the United States, most of you know my story. I kind of backslid for a couple of years, lost my way a little bit. And I began to say, hey, you know what? You know, let Annie go trick-or-treating, Naomi. She's like 4 years old or whatever it was, and we'll dress her as a nurse and we'll just let her go to one house. You know, we're not celebrating Halloween. We don't believe in that, but just how bad can it really be, right? And so we did that. See, someone agreed. Amen. How bad can it be? Amen. So we made this decision. Naomi's parents were here, and they were so angry at us. They couldn't believe it. You know, we were in ministry before. I'd been in churches where listen, on Halloween, three witches came against three Bible school students. They had a showdown that night, and they wanted to challenge the Bible school students on Halloween. True story. I won't tell you what happened, except that all three witches got saved. Okay? Because they called up their demons, and then the Christians called up their God. And when God showed up, the demons had no power. That's a true story, okay? But anyway, I know. And I knew that, and I still sent Anastasia trick-or-treating. I know. You can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Amen? So, but I want you to know that I think she only went to one house. Naomi was telling me during the break. And she actually fell and cut her knee. So it didn't work out very good. And also, my daughter, and she won't mind me saying this to you, you know, it was shortly after that we had a terrible incident one night in our home. And an evil spirit came into the house and terrified her. And I believe it happened because we opened the door. Okay, we opened the door, especially because we knew. We knew it was wrong. We tried to justify ourselves. It's innocent. She's going to dress up as a doctor or a nurse, and it's, don't worry about it. You know, but what you cannot mess around on the devil's playground. Are you with me, guys? Okay, so a couple of years later, Anastasia's at school. I'm giving away how long I was in the desert. About 2 years later, we had Anastasia's going to go to school. She's telling all the kids at school that Halloween's from the devil and all that stuff. But there was one day that they wanted all the kids to dress up. So Naomi was saying, you know, well, maybe we should just dress her up as an angel. Just let her go as an angel. And I said to her, listen, sweetheart, you know, right now I'm glowing in the dark again, guys. I mean, I'm saved again. I'm on fire again. Everything's good. And I said to her, listen, you know, I said, let me ask you a question. If you knew that your father's enemy was throwing a big party, would you participate? And she said to me, there's no way. I said, then we cannot participate. Because our father's arch enemy is celebrating one of their primary days. Are you with me? Okay. Now watch. Leviticus 19 verse 26 says this. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. What is he talking about? He's talking about taking part in ritual activity. He's talking about disfiguring your hair or cutting your beard or putting markings on yourself or tattooing you for something that has to do with the dead. Are you with me? This doesn't say you cannot have a tattoo. It's not speaking about that. It's saying that when it comes to the things of the dead, don't put anything on your body. Don't change your hair. Don't mark yourself. Don't drink blood. Don't have anything to do with anything with the dead, with that realm. Are you with me? But yet we dress our kids as demons. Yet we dress them as aliens and witches. We dress them as the dead. Did you know that a zombie is a dead body possessed by a demon spirit? And we send our kids out dressed like that. Now, I know not everybody does, but by the way, when you're out there, you will encounter that more than likely. My son is 3 years old. We arrive at the church. He points to something through the glass in the mall, which is a small little sign about that size of one of those panels. And he says, "Daddy, I can't look at that." We've said nothing to him about witches, goblins, sorcerers, nothing. It's a little witch sitting on a broomstick on a sign. But he knows that there's something wrong with that. Are you with me? A lot of us will allow our kids to even get scared, put fear in them. Listen, I can't even drive in my neighborhood and there's people, dead people hanging from trees and bones and skulls and stuff like that. I think that's really good, you know? Are you with me, guys? Okay, let's quickly go to Isaiah 5, verse 20. I believe that's the scripture. You guys have it. There it is. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We believe firmly, all of us in this room, I honestly believe that we can see how the world is getting darker and darker. I was talking to someone between the services and they were saying when their parents were children and they celebrated Halloween, the dark stuff that you see today, you didn't see back then. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. But it's amazing how as time goes on, it's getting darker and darker. What's happening? It's going closer and closer to what it was in the beginning. Are you seeing it? What's happening in America right now? The world is calling things that are evil good and things that are good evil. And we're supposed to support that, but most of us will take a position and say, "Listen, if it offends God, I'm not going to do it. If it's an offense to God, I'm not going to partake in it. If it's something that's wrong, even my political view, I will change it. If it offends God, I'm going to stand by what God says." Right? Most of us will take that position. So then why is it that we won't make a stand on one of the darkest days of the year? Are you with me? We cannot celebrate something that is an offense to God. That's my opinion. So what some people do is they'll say, "Well, you know, Pastor Alex, we'll just Christianize it." Well, you know, I'm glad that you think you can Christianize it. Last time I looked, I didn't see Christian drugs. I didn't see Christian porn. I didn't see Christian horror movies. When it's dark, it's dark, guys. If it offends God, it offends God. Are you with me? Okay. So the question is, should we participate in it or not? Ephesians 5, verse number 7 out of the NLT version says this: "Do not participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord, and take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." Instead, expose them. Do you know that after the Feast of Tabernacles, I was again taken on and challenged, why should we as the church participate in a celebration of God? But yet the same people, more than likely, are getting ready to dress their kids up to go out on the streets and trick or treat. So we mustn't celebrate one of God's days, but it's okay to celebrate one of the days that the enemy has set up as an imitation and a way to trap us through making us believe it's innocent when its roots are dangerous. Even Jesus spoke, if you want to kill something, you've got to go to the root. You've got to look at the root. Are you with me? God has given us more than enough days to celebrate, even on His timeline. But listen, if you want to dress your kids up, guys, go and do it. Do it today. Go and buy them a little outfit and dress them up. Listen, you can come to my house for candy every day of the year except Halloween. Okay? If it's an offense to God, if it offends Him, I don't want to do it. Listen to me. You have the Word of God as your guide. Stand up for what you believe. If you want to do some alternative, that's your choice. Personally, I don't want to touch anything around that day. On that day, I pray. And we will pray that morning. We'll be here. We'll be praying. We pray and we stand against it. That does not mean that we criticize other Christians. That does not mean we come against them, we humiliate them, or we mock them. Okay? We can't do that. If someone asks you, you can tell them the truth and you can say, listen, I don't want to do something. The Bible says that we cannot call those things that are evil good. That's an offense to Him. And we stand up for what we believe in a loving and kind way. Listen, if you celebrate Halloween, I will still love you. I won't necessarily agree with you, but I will still love you. And I have to tell you the truth because I know what God is busy doing with His church right now. And the time for compromise is over. If you want to be a part of seeing God move very powerfully in your life, close every door. Is that okay? You know, I got a message from someone between services that said, I wish I was taught this when my kids were little. This is God's word. He doesn't want us to have anything to do with divination, witchcraft, sorcery, or any of that stuff. I don't want my children seeing gremlins and goblins and witches and all that junk. I want them to grow up knowing the ways of the Lord. And listen, I want their inquisitive nature that they've been given for the supernatural to be something that they see in the light of God. His power, His love, His transforming ability when He touches a life and someone goes from darkness to light. Are you with me? That's why, guys, that's why I am fanatical about the things of God. I am hungry and thirsty for more of Him, and I don't want to do anything that will offend Him. And because I care about you, I felt I had to share this message with you. I had to share this message with you. And I want you to know again, please, there is no condemnation. You know, so many people had no idea what it really meant. They celebrated it completely innocently. You know, now you have some facts and you've got some decisions to make. I'm not going to criticize churches that do things. I'm not going to point a finger at anybody. But as for me and my house, we're not going near it. I'm not going to touch it. Well, I'm going to leave you with this last thing. Is it an offense to God? Last thought of the day. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we'll celebrate Halloween in heaven? No, answer. Think about it seriously. Why not? Because do you think God will allow us to dress our kids and to participate in that in heaven? Why? Why not? Because it's an offense to Him, guys. It's an offense to Him. You've been given the truth. Now you have to decide. I promise you, I will love you either way, walk a road with you, pray with you, fight with your family, for your family, not with your family. I'll stand by you as your pastor. But when you say to me, we did that, I'll say, listen, I think that was a bad decision. But that's my opinion based on what I believe Scripture says. We are about to enter into a phase in the planet, I tell you, the likes of which this earth has never seen. Get ready because God's about to do something amazing on the planet. We will see revival. We will. We will see it right here in this church. Vero Beach will experience revival. There's no time for witches and goblins and sorcery and all that junk. It's no time for it. No compromise. No compromise. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much. I first want to thank you for every person that's here tonight, this morning, Father. It's night somewhere. And I honor you, Lord, and I thank you for their lives. I thank you for bringing us together. Lord, I thank you for your word that is truth. I thank you that your word says there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that we can make a choice right now. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak to every family, to every father and mother, to every child, Lord. And Father, that you will speak to them and you will convict them the way that you choose to. They have a free choice, Lord. I pray that you strengthen them and that you bless them. Father, I thank you that I know that you love them and you only want what's good for them. You even said in your word, I have good thoughts towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you, to bless you, and thoughts that are not evil. So I thank you for it, Lord. Help us to see, Father, that things that are evil should not be our portion. And so I thank you for the lives of every person. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. In the name that is above every name, now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place this morning. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.